Luke 22. The message today is the glorious ending of Peter's pilgrimage. Once again, the glorious ending of Peter's pilgrimage. I want to read just three passages that deal with this. Luke 22. Verse 31. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. But I've made supplication for you. I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when once you are converted, strengthen thy brethren. When you are converted, when you've done an about face, strengthen thy brethren. Now, John 21. In brief, in John 21, verse 15, so when they had broken their fast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He saith unto him, yes, Lord, you know that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He says to him again the second time, do you love me, Lord? You know so. He said, shepherd my sheep. And he says to him the third time, do you love me? And Simon says to him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And he said, feed my sheep. Now, verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you wanted to. But when you shall become old, you shall stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Now this he spake, signifying by what manner of death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Now, 2 Peter. 1:12. Wherefore, I shall be ready always to put you in remembrance of these things, though you know them and are established in the truth which is in you. Let me tell you that in the original, the word that Christ said to Peter, strengthen thy brethren, can be translated establish, make them strong. And it says here, though you know them and you are established in the truth, which is in you, which is with you. And I think it right, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that the putting off of my tabernacle cometh swiftly, even as our Lord Jesus Christ signified unto me. Yea, and I will give diligence that at every time you may be able, after my decease, my exodus, to call these things to remembrance. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when they were born, there was born to him such a voice from the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice we ourselves heard born out of heaven when we were with him in the holy mount. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for the way that you deal with all your children. Our God, we are so thankful that you have not abandoned us. You have not saved us and left us to drift through life the way we would, as best we could. But we are thankful that you are our shepherd and you are our protector, the one who loves us from beginning to end. And we desire from the portions that we have read today to understand this, to comprehend it, how that at first your Son in person took care of his own. But now, Father, having sent the Holy Spirit into the world and into our hearts, he takes care of us through him. And so help us to understand these things, your will, our God, all that you have in store for us, and teach us from the passages that we've read this day. Illumine us and bless us, we ask of thee. We commit all into thy hands. Bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Tell me this. Has God revealed to you whether you're going to be alive when Jesus comes back? Has he revealed to you whether you're going to be dead when Jesus comes back? You say, well, why would you ask those questions? Because in the olden times, he revealed those two things to his people. He revealed to Simeon, this is remarkable, Simeon is the same name as Simon. He revealed to Simeon in Luke chapter 2 that he would not see death until the Lord came. The Lord as an infant in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, he was brought to Jerusalem and offered in the temple. But he had been promised, God had revealed to him, you're going to live until my Son comes upon the scene, that promised Messiah. You say, that would be a glorious revelation. Yes. But I read to you in John 21 that the Savior said to Peter, when you were young, but you're going to grow old and you're going to die. And thank God for this commentary. This he said, signifying by what manner of death he would glorify God. Grasp this now. I told you that my last message is the glorious ending of Peter's pilgrimage. Every day that I've been speaking to you, I've told you of the progression of Peter's pilgrimage and that I've shown you the regression of Peter's pilgrimage. He goes forward and he goes backwards. But thank God, it says this. The Lord said, you're going to die. You're not going to live until I come. You're going to die. But when you die, your death will glorify God. And so the end of Peter's pilgrimage was glorious. Why? Because he was going to die before he had another opportunity to go astray. That's a sad thing, isn't it? Because every time he made an advance, if Peter lived a little longer, he would go backward. He would live a little longer and make progress, and then a little longer and go backward. And so the Lord said this, you're not going to live until I come. You're going to die. But the death that you die is going to glorify my Father. Now, who would not desire to die such a death? let me tell you how dangerous it is to be a professed child of God. Tell me, when Judas Iscariot died, did his death glorify God, or did it dishonor and desecrate the name of Jesus Christ? You say it was a dishonorable death. Yes. And when Ananias and Sapphira died, was it a death that glorified God or dishonored God? You say it was a dishonoring of God. And when Demas, who preached with the Apostle Paul and helped him, when at the last Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has gone to Thessalonica, did his departure at the end glorify God or dishonor God? You say, it dishonored God. Well, may I ask you this? Would you pray to God to take you out of this world before you live so long as to dishonor his name? Would you pray that? I have prayed it. Before a Delilah would come along, before a Bathsheba would come along, as in the case of Achan, before clothing and gold would cause me to dishonor God, I have said, Lord, take me home. And I do not know what would have happened to Peter had he lived longer, but the Lord said this, you're going to die, and the way you die is going to glorify God. Can you think of a better way to go out of this world? A death that glorified God. In the church at Smyrna, the Lord sends them this message. He said, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, and you shall have tribulation for 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. How could the Lord deal with his people that way? He knows they're in jail, and he knows they're going to be put to death. And he said, be faithful unto death. And if they are faithful unto death, he said, I will give you the crown of life. Now, had you rather go out as someone who lived on, and as Demas left the Lord and went to Thessalonica and enjoyed the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life? Or would you prefer, as Peter's brother, Andrew, and then as James, John's brother, to be dealt with in that manner? Think of James. It says in Luke, in Acts chapter 12, that the ruler, to please the Jews, laid hold on James, the brother of John, and put him into prison and put him to death. I thought about this. Here is one of the choice apostles, Peter, James, and John, and his ending is this. He is arrested by an unholy ruler, put into prison, and put to death. And that's the end of him. That's the way that James goes out. But did his death glorify God? You say, yes, it did. And had you rather go out then the way James did, or the way Demas did, enjoying life in a worldly city? You say, well, I know what I should say, but I'm afraid that there is in me that temptation to go and enjoy the things of the world. Why do you think God said to Peter, you're going to die. You're not going to live until I come. And when you die, I'm going to see to it that the death that you die will glorify God. That is a beautiful prophecy for every true Christian. And so how many of you want the Lord Jesus to give a prophecy like that concerning you? You say, well, I would prefer to have the one that was given to Simeon. Well, I would too. If the Lord told me, you're going to live until my son comes back again, I would say, praise the Lord. But there is danger in that. Why? Because John says this in his first epistle, "And now, little children, abide in him, that if he shall appear, we shall have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming." So, some may live until the Lord comes, and you say, "I hope I do." Let me ask you this. Suppose when the Lord came, you would be caught denying him as Peter did 3 times, cursing that you never knew the Lord Jesus. Would you like to live and meet the Lord that way? How do you know you won't do that? I've told you that those that have been born again, the Lord Jesus looks at them and he says, "You being evil." That's why in Peter, that one that Jesus called the rock, Peter would go forward and go backwards. But the Lord saw to it that he was going to die when he was going forward, and that death was going to glorify God. And so that's the important thing. It's not the life that you live alone. It is the death that you die. And so I hope that I may live until Christ comes. But I've been waiting so long. But another man, Charles Rose, he lived to be almost 100. And he told me, I had known him for many years, he said, "I'm hoping to live until the Lord comes." And he lived to be 80 and 90 and 95. And he got up to 98 or 99. But then he went home to be with the Lord. He didn't make it. And so I do not know if the Lord will let me live some 20 more years, but I would like to be living when the Lord came. But if I were going to be cursing and using oaths that I did not know the Lord Jesus, I'd rather go today. And I trust that the same will be the prayer of your heart. And so the life you live, yes, it's important, but the way you die, that's important as well. And God had seen to it that the consummation of Simeon's life was seeing the Lord Jesus when he came. And he took the Savior in his arms and he blessed God. And as soon as he saw the Lord Jesus, he said, "Now let thy servant depart in peace, O Lord." I'm so glad that when the Lord comes back again, he's not coming back as a child. He's coming back as that glorified Savior, the one to fulfill the promise. "I've gone to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself." And so when he comes back, it won't be looking upon him as a Savior. It will not be looking upon him crowned with thorns, but coming crowned with many crowns and to receive us to himself. And so here is what Peter said. He knew when he wrote his second epistle that the time of my exodus is at hand. That's the word. The time of my departure, leaving this world. I'm so glad that the death of a Christian is expressed that way. My exodus. When Israel had the exodus from Egypt, it was not to die. But they were going toward the promised land. They failed and never arrived. Only a few did. But what happened was, when they took their exodus, they were going to something better. And every true child of God, when he takes his exodus, is going to something better. Do you realize that in Hebrews, it said that some of the Old Testament saints could have escaped torture had they wanted to. But it said they refused to escape that they might receive a better resurrection. And I don't know if there's one of you here who would say, "Lord, let me be tortured, let me live, and let me experience pain that when I stand at the judgment seat of Christ, I may receive a better resurrection." Some have that much faith in Christ. Now, that I live till the Lord comes, yes, I would like that. But if it's I'm going to be sinning as Peter was when he denied the Lord, no, take me before that. But if it's to meet the Lord with glory and with rejoicing, yes. And so remember that some of us may be living when the Lord comes, and some of us may be dead when the Lord comes. It makes no difference. That is why 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15 have been put in the Word of God. Paul says as, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And so, here is a study that will